Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome into Redacted. We are the show that covers the stories the mainstream media glosses over or does not cover at all. They ignore it. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris. Thanks so much for joining us on this Thursday. This is the last show of the week for us. We do not come on Fridays.
Yeah.
So this is our Friday. So we give you permission to call it your Friday, too.
We got a lot of news to get to today. We're going to talk about the CDC caught spying on Americans. This is a story we didn't see coming. I mean, maybe some of us maybe did. Maybe we kind of thought that. I don't know. But it's kind of a crazy story. We're going to run down that.
They're in your phones, everybody.
Yeah, they're in the room next door.
And a new study out of Germany shows that adverse reactions to the COVID vaccine is 40 times higher than is being reported. That's a shocking number. We're going to break it down and see how shocked we need to be.
And we're going to, I don't know if you saw the congressional testimony yesterday of the Ministry of Truth, the Disinformation Governance Board. Alejandro Mayorkas, the head of the Department of Homeland Security, went before Congress and just got grilled. And this could be maybe the beginning of the end of this governance board. And I have to wonder, too, like we'll discuss it, was there hire that they had, what's her name, Nina Jankowicz, basically the fall guy here? Like, is she going to fall on the sword, get thrown under the bus? She was certainly thrown under the bus yesterday during this hearing. So
yes. Yeah. Maybe they sort of set it up that way. I don't know. That's too far down the rabbit hole. We're also going to talk about some military decisions that continue to be made with your tax dollars, that and your rumbles. Recall that we are in a timeout for YouTube. We are not broadcasting there for the next 2 weeks. We talked about why in yesterday's episode. They did not like the way that we were opening up alternative views to the conflict in Ukraine. But we are so happy that you've joined us on any alternative platform. We're not going to call it alternative platform because it's where you are. We come where you are, right?
Yeah,
if you're on Twitch, if you're on Facebook, if you're on Rumble,
a lot of people are like, hey, give the middle finger to YouTube. So, you know, so welcome here. If you're on Rumble, Twitch, everywhere else, thank you for joining us.
We appreciate that spirit.
I do want to mention here off the top, we do have a way for you to join us. And so if you're right here on Rumble right now, specifically, so there's a red join button. Because, you know, Rumble and Locals are joined, right? So the way that you can join us and support independent journalism is by clicking on that join button. And you support independent journalism by becoming a channel member here. We're really trying to move away from the billionaire-led corporations like Google and YouTube and moving away from that so that it's totally user-supported. So if you'd be so kind, again, click on the join button right there. It's right in red. If you're watching us on your Rumble player, click the Locals button and join us. Join our community. That way we can stay in contact with you. So that way if we're ever censored, taken down, we have a way to connect with you. Well, one thing we're also going to start doing is taking some of the clips that YouTube won't allow us to show, the stuff that gets censored from YouTube, the stuff that we get deplatformed for, and we're going to put it specifically in this members-only area. So the stuff that YouTube won't allow us to do, we're going to cut up and make sure that's there available for you so you can see the truth and not have it be censored.
So we can come here to Rumble and say controversial things like we think no one should die in a war.
That's you can't say that. I guess.
It's so radical say that.
Whoa, wait, what? What?
Yeah, you can't say that, Philip. Don't even try to say
we
it.
We are not pro-war.
I'm just shocked that I've all this time I've been working with such crazy people. I'm out. I got to go start some wars.
Sorry about that. So who was in the chat? Janine Shaner was asking as Philip was here. Thank you for saying your first words of the day. We welcome you.
Oh, yes.
Phillip's here. David's still out with a big injury. He actually, like, if you were like in NFL terms, you know, where like NFL players are out for like...
He's been benched for a long time.
He's been out for like longer than some... Yeah, for like the whole season.
Yes.
With a pinched nerve in his shoulder. So he is out. He can't even stand upright, I guess.
Don't worry, though, because we're tracking his phone.
Yeah, we're checking it.
Through the CDC. So here's the story wanted to bring you off.
I wanted to get to this
No?
First.
Okay, we're not going to tell you this.
Well, no, remember I said before the show we're going to talk about this? this?
I didn't understand that directive.
Okay. Well, okay. I said, let's start here because this, I mean, this is just breaking. We're not going to go in too deep in on this, but this is what's happening, guys. I mean, in the stock market, just closed. Boy, really, really brutal. I mean, because you had the second day of the Federal Reserve coming out, Jerome Powell. Yesterday, he came out and made some comments, obviously, about interest rates, and the market went up. Today, though, the market went down, and nothing he said, though, points towards a recession. In fact, if anything, he looked more confident today.
Yeah,
he looked more in control. He says we don't see any signs of a recession. We have 11 million jobs that are needed, and only 6 million people available for jobs. So I don't see a recession coming yet. It doesn't look like the stock market agrees with him in that way.
It just proves how fickle it all is. You know, the stocks now, they're saying this is the worst day since 2020. NASDAQ is down 5%. Dow's down 1,000 points. There was news this morning that productivity, worker productivity in the United States had its lowest number since 1947. It was a 7.5% drop in just one quarter. I don't think the Dow would react to that kind of news. But then again, that doesn't necessarily mean like, oh, now all workers are lazy. They're not productive, right? It means they don't have much to work with at this point. The supply chain is hitting everybody. And so output is not what we're used to for many reasons.
Right.
We've talked about.
So I want to point your attention to, I've created a new partnership with a couple of millionaire friends, one of which actually came out of retirement for this. And I want you guys to go and sign up. It's totally free. It's over at prowealthtrends.com. Again, it's totally free. What we're going to be doing is kind of navigating through these crazy times in the markets right now, and being able to provide VIP access. We're going to close this down in about 10 days. We're going to keep it open for like 14 days or so. And you can sign up. It's totally free. You'll get updates and market information and data about how to make moves in this market. Again, from multimillionaires who've done it and are accurately calling different stock moves. So go sign up if it's interesting to you. We've already had a couple hundred people already sign up. Again, it's prowealthtrends.com. We're going to shut it down in about 10 days. Not the email list, but we're going to just shut down opening. So we'll close the door and we're just trying to keep it a very small, very focused list. So please come on over and join us at prowealthtrends.com. To kind of make sense of all of this craziness right now. So stuff we can't really, you know, we talk too much here about finance here on this show, but I did want to cover the broad strokes of this because, I mean, you know, President Biden comes out yesterday and says that this war is great for jobs. It's great for America. We're doing great. This is what he literally said at a press conference yesterday. This war in Ukraine is great for America. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know about you guys. Are you guys feeling it in your pocketbook right now? Like kitchen table items, like paying for gas, paying for food, paying for everything else?
Yeah, you can hear how Grover feels about that if you hear him howling in the background about the tanking stock market and also war.
That's right.
He doesn't like either of those things.
All right, well, we'll start with this top story then. Let's talk about the CDC, which has been caught spying on Americans. This story is unbelievable, or maybe not so unbelievable if you've been following anything that these government agencies have been doing over the past couple of years. Certainly, Edward Snowden probably doesn't find this shocking at all that the CDC has been caught spying on Americans.
So what happened was there was a Freedom of Information Act, which showed that the CDC had bought software from a company called SafeGraph, right? It costs $420,000 a year to use that. And why were they using it? They said they wanted to use it for movement pattern, basically location tracking. So they wanted to track where you were going during the pandemic. There were also sort of non-pandemic related reasons, but mostly they said they wanted to track patterns of those visiting K-12 schools and compare that to 2019. So who was going to the schools? Are we putting kids in danger? Examination of the correlation of mobility patterns data and the rise in COVID-19 cases. So when people were let out of lockdowns, did infections increase because there was more movement around the world? Also, examination of the effectiveness of the policy on the Navajo Nation. So why are they specifically looking at the movement patterns of this one group of people? Interesting. But then there were some unrelated things like, do people go to the gym and does that affect their health, right? So this is data you have not given them permission to have, but they took it upon themselves to take it from this company. Now, how does this company get that location data when you most likely have not authorized it? Well, it's pretty underhanded.
Yeah.
The software company pays developers to put their code into other apps. So let's say you download an app to like make cute little collages on your Snapchat or whatever, or on your Instagram. I don't know for sure that any of those companies do have this embedded software, but that's a for instance. It just means you can't really know how you got it. The point is that millions of people were being tracked using this.
Yeah. So what's really troubling is that you're not really, you know, when you're, no one really reads those terms of service things, right? So they cram a lot of stuff in there. So if you think, okay, I'm signing up for this so I know if someone else is nearby that has COVID, I'll receive like an alert. I think a lot of people were being forced to do this. And so, you know, like, and so they say in this report, a clue came pretty early on in lockdowns when you would drive from one border to another. And your phone would light up warning you, state borders would, or even just crossing from Canada into the United States. This is, of course, what there's been obviously a lot during the Freedom Convoy uprising. This was a huge piece of that. Right. And then you had a quarantine for 2 weeks. You would get this like warning flash on your phone basically saying, hey, you just crossed over. You've got a quarantine now for 2 weeks. And again, a lot of people were pushed to get these things on their phones, these COVID trackers built into different devices, forced to take these apps and download it. When you would check into a restaurant, you were scanned and all of this stuff. So they're really monitoring it. It says our phones installed it for us, even if we didn't want it, to track software, the track and trace software that claimed to alert you if you came near a positive COVID person. As if the virus was Ebola and infected people were milling about everywhere, just walking around and beep, 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 almost like a movie. You could picture it like, you could picture like those guys, like a Jason Bourne movie where they're like in a room and there's like the computer screens are lighting up and like, there's like red dots here. And like, that's what they're tracking and watching you. I mean, it's really scary. And as Wikipedia, which, you know, don't get me started on Wikipedia. This is how they explain it. Devices record received messages, retaining them locally for 14 days. If a user tests positive for infection, the last 14 days of their daily encryption keys can be uploaded to a central server where it is then broadcast to all devices on the network.
So this is of course you could say this is a smart way to contact trace, right?
Right.
Because if the virus is that
it was Google developed, right? That was the,
Absolutely. And you want to know if you've been exposed to it, but then you're opening up yourself to say, let's say you went into a Target and you checked out in aisle 8, and then later on, it turns out that the checkout in aisle 12 had a positive case, right?
Right.
And then you're shut down having never really interacted with aisle 12 and you don't know, right? So these are the kind of things we were all worried about. It's like, are they going to descend on me, keep me in one place, you know, and how long can this last? I think it also highlights just another, you know, copious use of tax data to buy spyware.
Well, I mean, think about it. You know, I guess we all come back to the idea that, look, do you trust your government? Do you trust your government to do well with this data? Because as the documents show, although the CDC used COVID-19 as a reason to buy this data.
Yes.
Their intended use for it is more, as they say, a more general CDC purpose. So they say they're buying it for tracking purposes. That's why they got it for COVID-19. But now they have this data. What more will they do with this data beyond that? Do we trust them to just keep it in some box? Like they're only going to use it for this one
and
purpose?
And do we care if they're saying, well, first of all, why do they care more about the Navajo Nation than other groups? That's interesting.
Could you use it? I mean, I'm just, you know, again, I kind of go to the dark place, but they've proven themselves scumbags time and time again with this stuff, right? They're going to use it for political purposes, nefarious purposes. They're going to track, as we now know, I mean, the FBI, the CIA have claimed, you know, that white supremacy groups are a big threat to the, you know, to the, so they've been focusing on these white supremacy groups. Well, will they be looking at militia groups, studying their movements, studying their tracking, et cetera, based on their phones? They know that they're not vaccinated. So would they want to set up perimeters around these people? I mean, I go to a dark place, but the reason I go to a dark place is because we have experience in this stuff, right?
There's, sure.
There's plenty of, you want to line them up, Ruby Ridge. You want to go down the Waco rabbit hole. I mean, just on, you want to go to, I mean, Antifa riots. You want to see what happened in Seattle, in Portland. I mean, the list is endless at this point.
Well, what's, I mean, I can't think of one single time in, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there was an instance, but I can't think of ever where the government got a little bit more power for a specific reason and then gave it back when that reason was over.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Here you go. I mean, that's what we were saying about Justin Trudeau in Canada, right? Like you know, he was supposed to be for a short amount of time getting those emergency act powers. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we knew it was coming. Then it was extended. And now they're pushing for further censorship and extension of these government powers. So now they're trying to roll in, you know, internet censorship into these emergency powers. So you don't give it back. Once you get this power, you taste this power, you never give it back. And that's why you have uprisings. That's why you have revolutions.
But
right?
Do we care? Wait, for instance, if it says we want to research points of interest for physical activity and chronic disease prevention, such as visits to parks, gyms, or weight management businesses. So do people who frequent these healthier places have better health, and can we study that, right? I mean, there are non-intrusive ways to do that without installing spyware.
Right.
But do we care if they are actually using it that way? Is there any good? I mean, I'm just trying to come around it. Is there any good we can see in what they could do? And many countries were using cell data triangulation to make sure that certain people quarantined when they got to certain places.
Before we move on, let's unpack that a little bit. It's a good question. So what do we now, what do we know about this virus? What do we know about the vaccines? What do we know about exposure? And so if you, knowing what we know now about that, then let's work backwards. Does it make sense for us then to have tracking information on our phones so that the CDC, what would they do with that information? Because we know that lockdowns didn't work. We know that the states and counties, based on the CDC's own data on the CDC's website, the counties across the United States that did not do lockdowns, actually, according to the CDC's data, did better.
Yes.
So what then? What then do you do? I'm just trying to figure out
with that. I'm talking about the intention, right? When we did not know as much as we know about COVID.
But they're buying this data now, right? So they've bought this data and they're continuing to buy this data now.
Yes. Okay. I can't make an excuse for that.
Okay. Good.
Can you fill
the heart of it? Well, it's not even like looking at their past, because the past track record is not very great, but it's also like, it's the things that I don't know about yet that they want to do with this data. And that's like, you know, I just rather them not have it, because if them not having it, there's no, because they can get pretty clever with this stuff. And, you know, I don't know. It just, I don't trust at all.
And would it be so hard for them to just ask? Like, hey, you know, we're trying to study more about human movement patterns. This disease is perplexing us. Will you download this app? Plenty of people would if you just asked.
Yeah, hey, here's a tracking app that we just want to follow you. Because that's essentially what this did, according to the location data, is information on a device's location scoured, sourced from the phone, which can then show where a person lives, works, and where they went. Sort of data the CDC bought was aggregating, meaning it was designed to follow trends that emerge from movements of groups of people.
Yeah.
So
I did download an app similar to that in Europe called Stay Away COVID. And as soon as I realized that it was going to ping me if it thought I had been in the area of a close contact, and then like, what if I just walked into a grocery store and then I'd be in a lockdown for a month? I was like, no. Yeah. What have I done?
Yeah,
I had the same thing.
Plenty of fools like me.
Something very similar that popped up on my phone like early on, and I was still at Amazon at the time, so like I was still out and about because, you know, we were essential workers because they couldn't shut down Amazon, and my phone popped up this thing that was like, do you want to opt into this tracking like contact tracing thing? And I was like, well, it seems like no. So,
yeah,
I briefly thought about it and then I opted out.
Yeah, no, thank you. We're going to move on, but before I do, I want to mention to all of our viewers who are watching right now, please click the join button and you can join us over at Locals. That's our community there that's with Rumble. The best way to stay connected with us as we are censored on YouTube. Come join our new community where we won't be censored. We're going to be... We are going to be providing information up there on that channel, the stuff that YouTube will not allow us to play. We are going to condense that information down there and bring it over for you on that community. So click the red button and join us there.
Already, I'm not completely sure we would have been safe to do that story on YouTube about the CDC.
I know.
You.
I mean, isn't it amazing? Like, that's the sad part. Like, this is a huge story that the CDC is caught buying this data of Americans. And, you know...
Well, it seems to me that the CDC probably isn't paying YouTube, so they were fine with the CDC articles. It's when we said Pfizer. Specifically,
right,
that they would hit us, or like that we got banned. So it's like it's who's paying them,
right? Exactly.
It's not us. So today's show is brought to you by Indeed. If you're trying to hire, even aggressively, it doesn't have to be stressful. You can do it in a calm manner because you know you don't need a miracle. You need Indeed. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed is a powerful hiring partner that can help you do all of that. Find great talent faster through time-saving tools like Indeed's Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews. I was going to say awesomeness. That is also true because you can find the candidate that is awesome for you. With Instant Match, over 80% of employers get quality candidates whose resume on Indeed matches their job description the moment they sponsor a job, according to Indeed's data. In fact, even better, Indeed's the only job site where you only pay for the applications that meet your must-have requirements. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to get great talent fast. So start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at indeed.com/invest. This offer is only good for a limited time. Again, claim your $75 credit now at indeed.com/invest. Once more, that's indeed.com/invest. Terms and conditions apply. Pay per qualified applicant, not available for all users. If you need to hire, you need Indeed.
Well, let's talk about vaccines. Now, this I know would get us taken off of YouTube, clearly. So we don't really need to. What I love is we don't even have to tread lightly on this story now because we have new data.
But I'm kind of conditioned too, so I'm going to have to stretch for a second.
Yeah, stretch. Okay. Work them out. So this story is a German study. This is a large study. I think they looked at, 43,000 individuals?
Yes.
In this study. To look at the vaccines and vaccine reactions. And unbelievably, 40% in this data came back with severe adverse reactions. Now,
40 times higher.
40 times higher.
That's a different thing. So they're talking about the number of serious complications after vaccination. Is 40 times higher, they say, than was previously reported. Now, we've reported on this show many times that in early trials, the pharmaceutical companies gave users a finite list of options for adverse reactions. So if you didn't have one of those things, such as vomiting or headache or diarrhea, you were just kind of kicked off the trial, right? It wasn't open-ended to really see what were the possibilities. And so now this is a long-term observational study where they asked these people what kind of adverse reaction you had, and they got real answers that run the gamut.
Yeah, this is a German study, so this is now translated to English. You can do the little translation button on your browser. Whether you're using Google or something else. A study on side effects after corona vaccinations is being carried out at the Charité in Berlin. On this page, study with 40,000 participants. Some side effects lasted for months. And what's amazing is that when they looked at the overall efficacy of other vaccines, right? So when you look at polio and smallpox and other things, and you think about, okay, well, then what are the adverse reactions of those long-standing vaccines that we've now had for many, many years, right? not even on the same playing field. I mean,
yes.
It's like night and day difference between getting a polio adverse reaction vaccine versus one of these vaccines. Not even close.
Well, also the doctor who led this research said, you know, incidentally, even the manufacturers of the vaccine had already determined similar values in their studies, but they did not make that public. So what he's saying is what he's seen of the pharmaceutical company's own data is that they knew of these things, but they didn't tell us. Now, the silver lining to this is that the professor does say that most side effects, even the severe ones, seem to subside after 3 to 6 months. And 80% completely heal. He says, unfortunately, there are a few who have side effects that last significantly longer. But again, this is something we were not allowed to even say, much less discuss or question within the previous year. So we're saying it now.
Yeah. So
now that we've all had it.
Well, I mean, it comes at an interesting time, right? Today marks the, or overnight marks the 1 million COVID deaths in the United States. But we could think about those numbers, right? Is it COVID related? Is it because of COVID? Is it COVID? There's a whole, you know, we recently had the data in our newsletter about how some of this stuff was revised up,
yes, right?
Or they revised it down. And it went from like hundreds of thousands. And when they actually looked at who actually died of COVID, it ended up being just a few thousand compared to the hundreds of thousands in the numbers that they had provided before.
Yeah. I mean, this is, for instance, I'm going to share a bit of a personal story. I hope Clayton doesn't mind, because Clayton's father died in January of 2021, and he had been diagnosed with COVID a few weeks before that, but he was in a nursing home and he died of what they called congenitive heart failure. He was otherwise having his health fail. He was in the hospital for unrelated reasons and caught COVID in the hospital, right? Now, he died a few weeks after his COVID diagnosis. And when we applied for government assistance for, you may remember that a year ago, the federal government started paying into people who had COVID deaths into their funerals. And because COVID was not listed on his birth certificate, or I'm sorry, his death certificate, it was denied the coverage for his funeral, right? But I'm pretty sure, I mean, we don't have a way as his family to know whether or not he's listed amongst these 1 million because he died having COVID, but not of COVID.
Right.
And we don't get to know that as his family, right? We don't know if he's counted amongst that or not. And also, who's to say that having COVID did not exacerbate his? It's just like, this is a fuzzy question. How are we ever going to get answers to it?
Some of the data, too, from this German study, I think what they found is that this correlates with other countries. So the 40 times higher than previously recorded comports with Sweden's data, Israel's data, Canada's data. It'll be interesting to see the United States' data. So what Germany discovered from their vaccine and severe reactions to these vaccines comports with these other countries' data. Really stunning. And again, they make reference to the fact that, well, you kind of said it very quickly and then you moved on, but I think that's a huge piece of it. I want to go back to it, which is these companies knew this and they hid it and they kept quiet about it. And the only reason we know about it is because of a Freedom of Information Act request specifically from Pfizer about these adverse effects, right?
Yes, a lawsuit.
Yes, a lawsuit in order for us to find this out. So the fact that they knew this and kept it quiet, and as part of their SEC filing last week or a week and a half ago, saying we know it's probably not going to pass muster, this vaccine, if we go through the regulatory process, probably will not pass.
Yes.
It will not pass the regulatory hurdles in order to become a vaccine that we would all use regularly. It's too many problems, too many adverse effects. So we just got to keep the emergency use authorization going because there, hey, we don't need that special regulatory hurdle. We can just keep pushing it through because the government says we're in an emergency, we're in a pandemic, so use this crap.
Yes. Whereas some countries now, such as Finland, are saying we're going to let it ride. You know, we're going to live with it now. We're not going to do vaccines any longer.
Denmark too. Denmark.
Just, I'm sorry. Yes, yeah. Denmark. Just recently in Serbia, they dropped all incoming restrictions. In Portugal, they're saying now the government's no longer paying for tests. We don't really need this as a qualification to move about the planet. So it's interesting to see how can you make the case for emergency authorization when you no longer have these governments that agree with you.
I don't know. Let us know your thoughts on the chat. In the chat, let me see who's weighing in on this. Ula Hula says, yeah, all the free countries are dropping these restrictions. Yeah, for money or control. That's right.
Indeed.
Today's show is brought to you by HelloFresh. Oh, we love HelloFresh. You know, you are spending so much money at the grocery store right now. How would you like to save upwards of 28 to 30% off your grocery store bill just by using HelloFresh? And guess what? You don't even have to go to the grocery store. They'll deliver it right to your front door. That's what HelloFresh does. You get farm fresh, pre-portioned ingredients, seasonal recipes delivered right to your front doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. You'll get, they have chefs, by the way. HelloFresh actually has chefs. They really know how to diversify the menu. They've got seasonal recipes. And that's one thing that Natalie and I love is like, oh, what's a good recipe, a dish for fall? It's getting cool outside, you know, before winter comes. Or in the spring, right? Starting to get hot. What's a great seasonal spring or summer recipe? So they've got like salmon limon right now and pasta primavera, great springtime recipes. You can pick your favorites, 50 different weekly options, and skip weeks when you need to change your delivery date or update your preferences, all right inside of the HelloFresh app. It's very, very simple. Customize your favorite dishes. You can choose for larger family sizes, smaller family sizes, pescatarian options, vegetarian options. It doesn't matter. It's so easy. We really love it and love being able to mix and match these different recipes and have the kids involved in the recipe making process because the recipe cards are so colorful and easy to use. So you want to get 16 free meals right now? Of course you do. Go to HelloFresh.com/redacted16 and use the code redacted16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. Again, that's HelloFresh.com/redacted. That's REDACTED and use the number 16, redacted16, to get 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. All right, let's talk about this Ministry of Truth. You want to lead this one here?
Yes. Well, Congress got a chance to ask some questions about this Ministry of Truth. This is the story we've been covering for a few days here about how the government says we need a separate department to let people know when they are interacting with disinformation because it's bad for our democracy. I have made the point for the few weeks now that there is no such thing as disinformation. Information, by definition, does not have to be true. Information is for you, the receiver of it, to discern for yourself, right? So using the word misinformation to me feels like the word irregardless. It's like nails on a chalkboard. Nevertheless, the government likes it. They want to let you know that you are susceptible to misinformation, and don't worry about it because they're going to tell you when it's right and when it's wrong. You don't have to think for yourself. They'll just tell you. Just this week, Senator Rand Paul made the point that there's really no way to do this given the fact that we don't agree what is misinformation. I don't agree that that's a thing. And the fact that we have let certain stories be labeled misinformation and run with them to the tune of millions of dollars and so much time, right? And so how are we going to do this?
I don't know. So the committee that was asking Alejandro Mayorkas, who is the Department of Homeland Security head, Senator Rand Paul laid into him. And this is where the craziness started. I mean, he's asking him all sorts of questions about, hey, do you know the Steele dossier? Do you know these other things? Let's listen to his questioning here and see how he responds. It didn't go well.
Yes, the dossier was full of Russian disinformation. So let's say it is Russian disinformation. You say your new disinformation governance board is going to help the public with disinformation. You claim it's not going to be about domestic. It's going to be about foreigners and those evil Russians. So here's my question. The FBI concludes that the Steele dossier was full of Russian disinformation. CNN propagated this disinformation gladly for years and years. The difference, I guess, between your opinion and our opinion is that, as despicable as it is that CNN propagated this disinformation, I wouldn't shut them down. I wouldn't lecture them. I wouldn't put it on a government website that CNN's wrong for propagating disinformation. The problem you have is you're not even willing to admit. I mean, we can't even have an agreement on what the FBI said was disinformation. How do you propose that you're going to have an office of disinformation governance if you see the problem in even determining what is disinformation?
Oh, Senator, because our work is not focused on disinformation writ large. Where we, the Department of Homeland Security, become involved is when there's a connectivity between disinformation and threats to the security of the homeland.
The Russians might be considered that. You mentioned the Russians the other day when you tried to pivot away from this being about censorship. But let's say it is the Russians. I know you're not going to ever agree that the Steele dossier, which y'all spent so much money on, was disinformation. But it was, and the FBI concluded. But let's just say there's an imaginary disinformation. You've discovered tomorrow Russian disinformation that's going to hurt our national security, and CNN's broadcasting it. What are you going to do?
Senator, let me...
You're going to tell Putin you shouldn't do this.
Senator,
what are you going to do?
Senator, let me explain what we do in the Department of Homeland Security with respect to disinformation, and frankly, what we've been doing for nearly 10 years across different administrations. The cartels propagate disinformation that Title 42 does not apply to a particular community of migrants from a particular country.
How are they propagating this?
If I may, through social media. And what we do through U.S. Customs and Border Protection is actually communicate via social media and other channels that is false, that we do apply Title 42.
So let's say there's Russian disinformation as well. Are you going to take to social media and broadcast that people are broadcasting something incorrect about what do you think is Russian disinformation?
Senator, let me emphasize.
Well, you said the other day Russians, and now you're saying not so much the Russians. You're saying.
So it goes on and on like that, right? Because we can't
yes.
even have. I think it's a great point. Like we can't even have a conversation about what is disinformation. You won't even acknowledge like the Steele dossier is total garbage. You know, he even brings up the Mueller investigation. He's like, you know, specifically the Steele dossier, which was fabricated. It was bunk, fake news, disinformation that CNN and MSNBC, I mean, Rachel Maddow devoted 2 years of her programming to this.
Yeah, okay. But I don't think it was what they call on Fox News a nothing burger. I do think that there were threads there that deserved to be pulled. And I think that the Mueller investigation did a good job of pulling them and come to a fair conclusion. I think in that instance, it was a case of the law working, because they were able to work within the constraints of the law and realize, like, we can't be politically motivated to go after Trump because he's a thug.
I mean, that's just one example.
But
I mean,
yes,
I mean, how many more
we
examples?
Shouldn't go down that. I think what concerns me is that it's very vague to say we only get involved when there's a connectivity to a threat to our country, because you can define anything really as a threat to our country. For instance, the reason that we are blocked right now on YouTube is for saying that we don't agree with arming extremists
arming
in Ukraine
Nazis. Yeah, arming Nazis
with guns to kill people. And the United States position is that we absolutely should send guns and money to kill people, and we are taking the side of Ukraine. So us saying that is a threat to the narrative of our country. It is telling people maybe you don't want to support this with your tax dollars. And so would that then mean that our show is disinformation because it's a threat? This idea of a threat, right? A threat to safety. Sure, you can follow any meandering path to say that makes us unsafe, because we're saying that our tax dollars put guns into the world, and that those guns then come back to place, you know, come back to hurt us, or they hurt other people. And we're saying we don't like this system. So are we subversive enough to be called unsafe? You can make that argument for any information you don't
right.
like.
Right. This is why it's dangerous territory. But Senator Rand Paul made the point that even though CNN was putting out all of this fake news for 2 years and they continue to propagate this lie, that he's like, I don't even want a government website highlighting that CNN was lying. Like, that's not the government's business. Like, big for Rand Paul to say that. He's saying it. He's putting it out there. But, like, this is what YouTube...
Another example.
This is what YouTube says to us, right? So this is what YouTube is telling creators. This was sent to us as a publisher on YouTube. Important notice, update regarding Ukraine. Due to the war in Ukraine, we will pause monetization of content that exploits, dismisses, or condones the war. So my question to you is, okay, this is going out to all creators on YouTube, right? And then if you look at the bottom, this pause includes, but is not limited to, claims that imply victims are responsible for their own tragedy or similar instances of victim blaming, such as claims that Ukraine is committing genocide or deliberately attacking its own citizens. Well, we do have overwhelming evidence from journalists in that region that, in fact, Ukrainian power military have been attacking their own people in the eastern region.
The mainstream media accepted that narrative up until 6 months ago. So yeah,
they were covering it, by the way. The mainstream media was covering it at length on but now suddenly once the war breaks out, we can't cover that. But I should point out, like, condones the war? Like, it says literally dismisses or condones the war. Well, all of CNN, MSNBC, most of the mainstream media, that's what they're doing is promoting the war. I mean, that's all they are doing. And yet, why is CNN still allowed to broadcast on YouTube? Their whole premise, their whole reason for being is to promote this war.
Yes. Yeah. So they have no peaceful voices there as pundits.
Let's bring in General Da-da-da who to talk about this. General, this war is going to continue most of the summer. And as President Biden said yesterday, this is good for America. Like, that's okay. What about peace talks? No, if you talk about peace,
right,
you'll get you. This is amazing. So will their governance board step in to do anything here?
Are aliens a threat to our country? Would broadcasting about alien life forms be
maybe my paranormal post channel get dinged because I cover aliens?
If you use history as an example, like, it was considered the national interest by the CIA to protect the interests of United Fruit throughout South America and the Caribbean. So we actually overthrew governments, killed people so that an American company could set up these fruit companies throughout South America. Like, the CIA did that. We've known this for a long time. That was in the national interest. That's how they backed it. So you're taking if you start speaking bad about Chiquita Bananas, is that against the national interest?
Yes. You know, we're really playing with fire today.
Yeah, yeah. Dole, right? I mean, you're absolutely right about that. And think about not just pineapple, but oil. I mean, then you can take it a step further and talk about oil and oil interests and why we went into Kuwait in the first place. You know, of course, it's all about oil, money, and American interest and mineral rights. I mean, think about the mineral rights and so forth in Afghanistan and Yemen and other areas.
It's that connection, not just between national interests, but national interests. Any attack on national interests is seen as a threat, where those two are not the same thing. But when they're seeing it that way, then you can. It's not that big of a stretch to make that connection. It's not a threat, but if it's against our interest, then we'll treat it as one.
So Mayorkas got another bit of a grilling from Senator Kennedy on this question about Nina Jankowicz. I don't know if you guys remember who Nina Jankowicz is. Just if you guys need a little palate cleanser.
He's going to play it.
I don't have it here.
Oh, he doesn't have it.
Oh, but you remember Nina Jankowicz.
Maybe I deleted some files when he walked away.
See if I can find it for you. But of course, she is the singing Mary Poppins. She is now in charge of the governance board. I can't find the video. I wish I had it. But there's been a lot, of course, that has come out on her positions on a number of different topics. Her stance against the Gray Zone, which is an independent media company, calling them disinformation, and yet one of the few actually independent media companies and sources actually doing real journalism, and you're calling them disinformation. She's had them in their crosshairs for a couple of years, actually. I mean, the list goes on. She has previously said that the government should not be involved in disinformation and deciding what is disinformation. That should not be the government's job. And now she's in charge of the very thing that she says the government shouldn't be involved in. There's a laundry list of things that we've learned about her over the past few days. So Alejandro Mayorkas was asked about this during this hearing, and here's what he had to say.
Who at the department picked them?
Senator, we don't discuss our hiring, our internal hiring processes, but I am the Secretary of Homeland Security, and ultimately I am responsible.
So who?
When you when the
so who hired her? It was the question, right? Who hired this woman? Like, well, I don't know. I'm responsible, but I don't know.
The department picked her. Did it know that she had said that Mr. Hunter Biden's laptop is Russian disinformation?
Senator, let me repeat myself and add one other fact. I was not aware of that. We do not discuss the internal hiring process.
I don't know about that. I mean, she's getting thrown under the bus here. I mean, she's going to be pushed out real soon.
Ultimately, as the secretary, I'm responsible for the decisions of the Department of Homeland Security.
When the department picked Ms. Jankiewicz, did it know that she had vouched for the veracity of the Steele dossier?
Senator, let me repeat myself and add an additional fact. One, we do not discuss internal hiring processes.
Yeah, we
Two,
got that.
I was not aware of that fact. Three, as the Secretary of Homeland Security, I am responsible for the decisions of the department. And four, it is my understanding that Ms. Jankiewicz is a subject matter expert in the field for in which she will be working on behalf of the department.
Yeah, I can tell.
can I point something out real quick?
Yeah.
He just said, I was unaware of all these important things. He said that multiple times, and I am responsible. So leaving out the middle part, he's answering that. I was unaware, but I'm responsible. If you're,
and the third part is, I understand that she, so I do know something about her is that she's a subject matter expert. So right. I didn't know anything about that. I'm responsible, but I do know something about that.
Like I would have to be like, well, if you were under, is there anyone else we can talk to? Like, is there, who is aware of things? Who there is aware and responsible? I want that. That's what I want out of government. Aware and responsible. Yeah.
So you're going to tell us what Mexicans should be Googling and finding in their search results, but you did not Google her.
Right. We don't know anything about her.
Interesting.
You didn't know that she was the singing Mary Poppins and, you know, was all over Twitter and TikTok, like promoting these types of things.
I mean, you would think it would just be like, hey, guys, we're going to do this. It's going to be a controversial job position, but let's make it anyway. And let's get someone who, like, looks cute when she sings and, you know, that kind of thing. But let's make sure she has not done any of the following things that embarrassed us in recent history. That would be just kind of baseline, that has at the very least kept their mouth shut. It's how you hide a little, hide a little lie. It's how you hide a little, hide a little lie. It's how you hide a little, hide a little lie. He found it.
I found it.
He couldn't even think straight. He was looking for it.
I was looking for it. I had to find it.
You know that like somewhere there in the back rooms, there was like a bunch of these like older people like sitting there going, we need to, who do we get to head this, this Department of Defense, you know, for this disinformation. They're like, well, what about somebody from that TikTok? Who knows that TikTok? You know, like, it's like, you know, that happened. They're like, they have no idea what it is, but they're like, we just need somebody from the TikTok.
Yeah. There are other people, you know, there's a lot of people on TikTok. Today's show is brought to you by Alto IRA. Are you thinking of investing in Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies? Guess what? So are we. Did you know that you can trade these things without tax headaches? Now, how can you do that? You can do that by investing inside of an IRA. Did you know that the majority of people that are investing in cryptocurrency right now do so through a taxable account when they could be using an IRA and avoiding or deferring the taxes? So if you want to truly diversify your retirement portfolio, you can discover how to do that. Learn to do it inside of your IRA by using Alto IRA as your IRA custodian. You can also use Alto Crypto IRA. Do you have any investments that are outside of the stock market? Most of us do, but many professional investors also do, and this is the easiest way to invest with Alto Crypto IRA. Now, this is seriously a game changer. You can invest in over 150 coins through an Alto IRA, including Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin, Cardano, and more. You get industry-leading security. You can do this with a traditional, a Roth, or an SEP IRA. There are multiple ways to fund your account, so you should open your Alto Crypto IRA. Right now, you can do so with as little as $10. Just go to altoira.com/morning. That's altoira.com/morning. Start investing in cryptocurrency today. Once again, that's altoira.com/morning. And we thank them so much for the support of our show.
All right, let's talk about this story, which is the F-35 boondoggle. Now, this program, sorry, it's so like dewy today in here, like I'm dripping from my coffee. And I'm like sliding all over the desk here. So I don't know if you guys have heard of this. How many people have heard of this, what's been going on with this F-35 program that's been happening for a number of years? Well, if you haven't heard about it, it's been this F-35 program has lasted, the Joint Strike Fighter program, it's lasted 20 years, okay? Congress has been working on this program with defense contractors for 20 years, and it has been an absolute disaster to the tune of $1.3 trillion, $1.3 trillion, and it's a failure, and they won't scrap the program. So
tell us what an F-35 is for those of us who might not know.
Yeah, I mean, let's see if I can find a photo of it here. It's let's see, F-35 photos. I don't have a photo. It's by Lockheed Martin. Let me see here. Yeah, here we go. Here's an F-35. Okay, this is an F-35, part of the Joint Strike Fighter. It is built by Lockheed Martin. Okay, it doesn't work. It's been virtually a failure. So they had a Senate committee hearing yesterday on there. They had a committee hearing on this yesterday to go over this, a subcommittee hearing. And they didn't mince words. I mean, they literally just came out and said that this thing is a disaster. Stop making excuses for this. But I want to read to you, because he didn't actually present this opening statement. He submitted it to the record. Jaramendi, he's the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee. And I'm just going to read it to you here. This is his opening statement. And I'm just going to read the first paragraph. I call to order this meeting. Over the past few years, it has become abundantly clear that the sustainment is the most acute long-term challenge facing the F-35 program. Sustainment will amount to more than 80% of the program's total lifecycle costs at a mind-boggling $1.3 trillion, largely because of supply issues and poor reliability. So, okay, we don't have the supply. Also, it doesn't work and they break. And the maintainability, the repairability of these aircraft, that you can't do it. They don't work and you can't repair it. The average F-35 mission capability rates are barely over 55%, with a paltry 30% of the aircraft capable of performing all of their assigned missions. Do you want to be, let me just ask you, like, do you have any pilots watching? Do you want to be the pilot that flies this thing when you know the reliability of this, that it has a paltry 30%? You have 20 years of data now on these. So this isn't like some fly-by-night thing. This is 20 years of data that you have from the United States Congress.
How many of these are getting sent over into Ukraine?
I don't know how many they have. I mean, that's the question. I don't even know how many, like, what is the lifespan of one of these things? And by the way, we were sending these aircraft, a lot of these aircraft, not these, but into Poland and then on into Ukraine. And a lot of them were said, like, hey, we can't, like, do training missions on these things, so you better know how to use these things. Well, you can't send these because the pilots,
no one knows how to use them,
right? So a paltry 30% of the aircraft are capable of performing their assigned missions. Repeated decisions to shift funding from depot repair to new production have created more than 10-year delays in standing up to the Department of Defense's organic F-35 repair capacity. Basically, I could go on, he says, but 20 years ago, it's an absolute disaster. So what they're basically, to kind of maybe sum it up in this way, and I'm going to play some of the testimony here because it's just kind of shocking, is, hey, we created this thing. We know it's a failure, but we're just too proud. We're in too deep.
Yes.
You know, it's like almost like that that train in California that they've spent billions on that's still not.
Oh, that won't even go through towns where people live.
No, yeah. I mean, they've spent so much money on it. If they scrap it, it's an admission that it just we just wasted billions of dollars.
And years. It's been in the works since I was a child.
John McCain. I mean, John McCain is dead now. Senator McCain crapped all over this program. He's like, you know, we talk about the military industrial complex. He's like, this is a total boondoggle. We should not have it. President Trump tried to kill this program. This is how entrenched the Department of Defense is with the military industrial complex. President Trump, John McCain couldn't end this program. And it's still going on, and it's a total failure, and they still can't end it. Go ahead, Philip.
I was going to say, in that last little bit there, to interpret what that said about the 10 years, like they don't have the repair program up, they're disposable. They're making disposable fighters because rather than repair them, they just keep making new ones. That's their idea. It's like, well, yeah, we know they break down, but look, we've made 10 more.
You know, you're right. We'll put them in a recycling bin.
Like individually plastic, you know, wrapped in plastic.
My God. I mean, we talked about how last week, this number stuck with me, that 80% of the U.S. government's carbon footprint comes from the military. So when you're paying for government programs, 80% of the carbon footprint comes, and you can see why you make a F-35 as a single use, you know, like a plastic spoon that you eat a pudding with.
I mean, he says their engines don't work. They've been grounded at a rate that far exceeds anything else we've ever seen before. I mean, a 30% aircraft capable performing these results. So this was his opening statement. He put it into the record. He didn't read it live. They wanted to get right to the questioning of the Pentagon and like answer, give us these answers. We're tired of beating around the bush. Here he was trying to be nice to this woman who just gave her testimony.
I'm going to take a deep breath. I'm going to be as polite as possible. However, Mr. Morani, you and I had a clear conversation yesterday. Mr. Fick, we've had conversations over and over. I will not tolerate any longer what has been. We're going to get on with it. We're going to do it. It hasn't been done. I've been watching the F-35 for a decade, and it has not been solved. It has not been at the attention necessary to sustain this $1.7 trillion platform. Has not occurred. Plain and simple. We're going to go off and buy new, bright, shiny airplanes. They're going to be flying probably well for a few months, and then they're going to wind up with a problem. They're going to go to a depot that's not prepared for them. They're going to have to go, maybe the engine is not working, which is a Pratt & Whitney problem. They're going to be before this committee soon. And if they're in the audience and if they're listening, watch out. I'm coming at you in a very angry mood.
I just want to say that that's a really good way to handle a workplace conflict. Like when you're really mad and you come off like that, because I don't maintain my decorum well. Yeah. And this guy's like, I'm telling you, I'm really actually quite pissed off and I'm not going to yell at you.
I think if somebody wasted $1.7 trillion of my money, I would probably be a little bit more livid than that. So yeah, I can respect that restraint.
He really reeled it in for sure. I mean, even though you can tell he's like red in the face, you know, he wants to scream and cry, but he didn't.
I mean, it's outrageous. I mean, this is why I beat the drum against these, you know, the military industrial complex, because here it is in the flesh, guys. Like if you're wondering why I get so angry about how this whole thing operates, it's so entrenched with a program that is literally proven to be an absolute failure. And no one can end the program. I don't know why they're still continuing it. They're so invested in it. They keep getting promises from these defense contractors, and they're such in cahoots that that's why this hearing is so telling, because maybe he'll have his hand slapped later.
I'm surprised he's allowed to have it at a time of, I mean, we're not technically at war, but it is not peacetime.
Sure we are.
Because that's incredibly embarrassing for any enemies that are watching. Like, well, those are the weapons you're sending? Interesting.
Well, he talked about, another member of the committee talked about, we saw what happened with Russia and they're lined up to go into Ukraine, like, and they're ready to go. And here we are with these planes that can't even be fixed or they don't even work. So, you know, we think about, he brought up the China threat and think about China and then you think about Russia. Like, if that's what we're focused on, if that's what these guys are focused on, is actually having a military that we're spending all of this money on, $835 billion a year in a defense budget, and none of this stuff works, and taxpayers can't even put food on their table, and they can't afford rent, and their mortgage rates are skyrocketing, and the cost of groceries is going up, and they just wasted $1.3 trillion on these jets that don't even work. I mean, give me a freaking break. This is, you know, this is why I get so angry about this stuff. So,
and in that same amount of time, we built the James Webb Telescope, and it works beautifully. So,
well,
there you go.
Look, you're ending on a high note. I appreciate that, because I didn't want to go out on what Clayton just said. Do we have any rumbles before we wrap up the show?
No, none came in today. So we are
no rumbles today. No one's ready to rumble. That's okay. You can still hit the plus button. You can hit the join button. You can hit all kinds of buttons that are nice to us. And please do. It will cost you nothing. We appreciate it very much. We appreciate you being here with us on this whatever platform you chose. And we appreciate your voice very much.
So when you're here on our channel, see the big join button right up here in red? Just click on that, join, and support independent journalism, support what we do here. We're able to do this show with a team, and we fund it all ourselves. So this is not run by any mainstream media company. There's no billionaires funding us. There's no defense contractors sending us money. There's nothing like that. So we do it all ourselves, to try to bring you these stories and bring you the updated news that we think you should learn about that you're not going to see. So please click that join button and join us. All right, everyone. We'll be back here on Monday. We're taking the show on the road on Monday. We're going to be traveling.
Yes.
Won't tell you where. It's a little bit of a surprise, but it's actually an interesting story. It's a country that is not in the European Union, but is kind of in the middle of what's going on with Ukraine right now and Russia, and is really sitting on the top, the tip of a needle. So it's going to be an interesting trip, and we have some interesting stories and content and interviews coming up from this trip. So we will have that for you next week.
Yes, we will.
All right. That's going to do it for us, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us. Thanks, Philip. And we will see you back here next week sometime. Thank you, everyone.
It's how you hide a little, hide a little lie. It's how you hide a little, hide a little lie. It's how you hide a little, hide a little.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.